We desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word as it is a continuation of last Sunday afternoon's message, and it will coordinate with the message of this morning. So we cannot exhaust the love of God. We cannot speak of it above what it is. It's greater than what our human language is able to convey. But by the help of the Lord, we want to just remind ourselves as often as possible, and especially in these days, of the great love of God. The little title that I have this morning, or this afternoon rather, is Making Love a Priority. As we said last Sunday afternoon, we had a little message concerning the action words that identified the love of God. This afternoon, we want to consider how the Word of God makes love a priority over all other Christian virtues, or what the Word gives us. Oftentimes, we may think of certain, maybe salvation, that is the greatest thing, or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that's the greatest thing. But when we look into the scriptures, we find that God sees it a little bit differently. I read this statement, and I really had to agree with it. It says, love is not a gray area in the scripture. So love is one that has been expressed to us from the time that we could understand the meaning of love. First of all, just as a little note, it says that, I read this somewhere, that the love of God is expressed 310 times in 280 scripture. So that's a lot of words spoken in the Word of God concerning the love of God and the love that he wants us to receive and also give. It's very difficult to know what scripture to hardly begin, because there are numerous verses that would be appropriate. And so I'm thinking of the 1 Corinthians 13, and I thought I would give some just highlight verses from that chapter. I'll be giving it pretty much in my own words, just to, for the sake of time, maybe. This chapter is the one chapter that's considered the love chapter. It covers the subject of love from many different angles, we might say. So it starts out and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not the love of God, I'm inserting the love of God here as it's the highlight of the love that we're considering today. It says, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. The importance of receiving the love of God, of knowing the love of God, of understanding the love of God, and where he wants me to be in the love of God. If I do not have it, I am like sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have great understanding, and maybe we're all seeking for understanding, greater understanding, God is pleased for us to seek after him for more knowledge, greater understanding. And it goes on and says, though I even have all faith. That just sounds so good. It seems like that should open up something that would reveal to me what the love of God is. If I had all faith, faith is so important to us in our walk of life. But it goes on and says, and if I have not the love of God, I am nothing. And it says, even though I feed the poor, and even if I sacrifice my person or my body and I do not have the love of God, it is of no profit. It goes on and says love. Then it begins, I'm giving some of the verses that says what the love does. It love suffers long. Love shows kindness. It is not puffed up. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It does not take pleasure in iniquity. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The love of God never fails. And then we go to the last verse, just in that particular chapter, and it says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Sometimes we might look at faith and hope and feel like those virtues would probably outshine any other virtues in the Bible. But God looks at this thing that you and I are coming to and understanding, is that the love of God and the love that he wants us to have in our lives is the greatest of these three virtues. So I ask the question, why? And what makes love one of the most important and needful topics? The greatest among these, as the scripture said, is love. So God has established love as a supreme force to attain, I'm going to say, to attain eternal life. I don't believe we would be able to make heaven unless we had some form of understanding and we embraced the love that God has for us. I don't believe we would be able to make heaven at all, because the way that we attain eternal life is through the love of God and through the supreme sacrifice for our salvation, which was a demonstration of the love of God through Christ, his son. So there are a couple of points, two or three points I want to connect. I want that are connected with the love of God and with our love for God. So one is obedience to the commandments and to all of the word of God. For the scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So our obedience to the word of God, to the commandments, to the desire, to the will of God is all linked up to how much I love God, because I know he loves me. The word of the Lord proves he loves me. And my love for God will be reflected in how much I love the word of God. If I enjoy the word of God, if it blesses me when I read it, if I'm not reading it just to appease my conscience, I am feeding on the word of God, that demonstrates my love for the word of God. And this is the ultimate expression of our obedience then to God and to his word, because I love him. Another point is that it distinguishes believers from the rest of the world. For the scripture says, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love. Love is very important and in what God is offering to us, but he's wanting to fill us with the love of God for one another and for others. And in reality, that's a whole nother message. But this scripture, it distinguishes the men that are his disciples because they have love one for another. It is through our response to the love of God as a believer, as one who is saved and delivered and sanctified, that we become then the representatives of, or we may call it the epistle, for it says in the word of the Lord, ye are declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of God. Thank the Lord. So our lives, as we become those representatives and people looking on and observing our lives and seeing our example, and maybe they're witnessing the love of God in our hearts, and that's being demonstrated, then they are identifying us as one of his believers, and we can be that epistle of Christ that others will read. You know, it has often been said that there are people out there that may never pick up a Bible, may never read the word of the Lord, but they may be able to read something in your life and in my life, and they may be able to connect that to who God is and what he is, and I can represent him in a way that will enlighten their minds and give them understanding and point them to the love of God. And but there's another point which makes the love of God of such great importance, and we find it in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, and it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And it goes on and says, it's the first and the great commandment. Now, we may read that, and we may say, well, how can I love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind? Another scripture says, and all of your strength. It sometimes seems almost impossible, or I'm not capable of loving God in that capacity. But what I see is that if God commanded it, he wants to draw us into a relationship with him, that we learn to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it is the first and great commandment. I may not feel today that I have attained my love for God to that capacity, but I need to be ever seeking for and ever asking for more of the love of God in my heart and in my life. And I believe that God will do that for me. He does it for us through events of our life, through experiences of our life, not only where he's leading us, but then he's proving himself to us in those events. And then the last part of those verses, it says the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love. Well, we know it says thy neighbor, but I'm going to say all men. I'm going to say it covers much more than what we might think of as a neighbor. I think that, and we could, maybe that's a whole nother message too, because the scripture tells us who to love our enemies and to love our families and to love the brethren. And so there's a lot of other verses that can be linked up to this one, that thou shalt love. We could just say, thou shalt love. Love others as you love yourself. How do you love yourself? You want the best for yourself. You want the best for others. And then it ends and it says, on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. So do you get a little vision as we've just read these few scriptures of how God feels, or he believes he has demonstrated that the love that he has for mankind is the greatest love, and he wants us to learn of him, to grow in love, to develop in love, to also learn to love others like we love ourselves. So God is counting love as one of the greatest priorities in the Bible. We might go back and say faith is real important. Hope is real important. Salvation is real important. We can bring up different topics out of the Word of God. They're all important. But I believe that what God is trying to say to us is love is most important. He wants it to be a priority in my life and in your life that we pursue love. We pursue love for others, and we pursue a greater love for God Himself. So I would like to remind you at this point, because we might focus on the word neighbor, and we might focus on people that we have in contact, and we might go back and even focus on the scripture of, I want to be an epistle for Christ. I want the people out there to read my life and to recognize the love of God in my life. But I want to remind us of a message that was given some time ago. The title of the message was The Ripple Effect. And it was just a simple thought, but it spoke about a pebble being tossed into water and the ripples that came out from the center. But the focus of that message was it had to do with our homes being the epicenter of the ripple effect. In other words, I have to start at home in order to even love my neighbor, or I need the love of God to be in my home first. So our homes must be the beginning point of having love for others outside of our immediate family. God has designed for us to have a special love for our children and our companions and family members and so forth like that. But even as we progress in this thought this afternoon, let's not forget that the home must be the epicenter of the ripple effect of love going out to whoever out there in the world. I cannot treat my family one way and expect the love of God to be demonstrated when I go to Walmart and I meet up with strangers, or if I go to my neighbor next door, literally. I've got to have a love for my family that will supersede at this point my love that is demonstrated when I go out to meet the people of the world. I want to say this, when we speak of these things, it's important that we draw our minds in from other scriptures that would say, love as brethren, and our mind immediately begins to think of the congregation. Yes, we are to love one another as brethren in the congregation, in the church. All of these, this is very important, but don't forget, it's the love that you have in your home that's going to make that love be effective to others. So now I want to go to what Jesus said in John 13 and 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. And he's speaking to his disciples. And I am presuming that maybe there wasn't a whole lot that was said about love because they were back under the law. They didn't have grace. Somehow they didn't know how to love one another. But when Jesus came and demonstrated his love, remember the message last Sunday afternoon, it was words that represented his love. They were action words, and they showed God's love because of who he was, what he was, how he did. Jesus was the same. He came onto this earth, as God in the flesh, and he showed loving kindness. He showed compassion and mercy, and all of those things were demonstrating the love that he had. And maybe up to this time, there had not been a human being that had really shown such great love. And certainly the scripture says that greater love hath no man. We used this last week, that for a man to lay down his life for his friends. And we look at that, and you and I are saying, well, I'm willing to sacrifice my time, my energy for my neighbor, but we need to sacrifice our time and our energy for our families. Then we can sacrifice for our neighbors. But he is trying to open up to them, this is a commandment I give unto you, that ye have love, that ye also love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. May have two scriptures hooked up there together. But there's another scripture in 1 John 4 and in verses 7 through 12. And there's a number of scriptures along there in 1 John. I would encourage you to let that be part of your devotions, of studying out what the word of the Lord says there in 1 John about the love of God and the love that he wants us to have for each other and mankind. But this is what it says. It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Oh, I want to tell you, God has, from the time we were born to the date of this day, whatever age you are, ever how many years you've been alive, whether a young child or whether an elderly person, God has been manifesting his great love to you and to me, toward us. He's been always working to win us by his love. We know that's the scripture. Maybe reading it before this little thought is over with. We love him because he first loved us. God has demonstrated his love to us in all manner of goodness and mercy and long suffering. All of those words that we used last week as terms of demonstrating his love, we've experienced that. And from time to time, he is especially good to us. And we can praise him for his goodness and his mercy. And we do, as we bow before him in prayer. Don't we acknowledge the love of God toward us? Oh, it's a wonderful thing that the word of the Lord can open up to us a little bit more of understanding of the love of God and the greatness of the love of God. And then the scripture goes on and it says, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world. Oh, we may take that for granted many times. We've said it, we've heard it many times, and maybe we aren't quite as sensitive to it as we ought to be. It might be good if we all began to pray, Lord, help me to be more sensitive to the great love of God in the gift of your son, that I might have salvation. We can sort of skim over the top of that and it not be quite as, I don't know what word to say, glorious to us. But I believe God is wanting us to get a vision of his great love, simply because he gave his son for the whole world, that we might live, the scripture says. Herein is love. Not that we loved him. Here it is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we love one another, His love is perfected. Oh, do you like that word? Do you want the love in your heart to be perfected? I hope it will be in me. I hope that the love that He puts in our hearts for others, though it be frail and weak and human in some points, the Lord will lead me in a perfected way, that His love will be perfected in me. So I have a question now. Can we love one another as Christ loved us? I was thinking about the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and Brother Paul was speaking of speaking to the men, but in reality, he was speaking to all of us. And he was using the scripture over there of husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, if I'm going to find out how to love my companion like Christ loved the church, I'm going to have to study it out. I may even have to experience some of that kind of love to understand it. But I look at that and I say that kind of love is a growing love. So for us to love one another as Christ loved me, I've got to understand that kind of love. I've got to look in my past. I've got to trace the hand of the Lord. I've got to see where He loved me when I was unlovable. There was a time, I'm sure, I was unlovable, and yet He loved me. And He worked with me. He showed me His love and won me by His love. So can we love one another as Christ loved us? Well, it's important that we maybe get alone with the Lord and maybe cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, show me more of Your love. Allow me, Lord, to have a vision of Your love, that I may have a greater understanding of loving one another or others. In reality, I don't believe any of us has the ability, or we're not capable of loving others as Christ loved us or as God loved us, unless we are filled with the Spirit of God, unless we are sanctified and we're at, the Holy Spirit is actively working in us. It is through the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples over there, waiting for the Spirit that it would lead and guide and teach. And it is the same with this kind of love. It needs to be opened up to us in order to be understood. So in order for me to have that teaching and that revelation, then I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is so vital in our walk with the Lord, that we seek after the Spirit of God. I've encouraged you from times in the past. It's not a one-time feeling. You don't go down to the altar and go through the process of what we call sanctification and setting yourself apart. It's very important that I go through that process and I do it by faith and I be filled with the Holy Spirit. But every day you should be asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit for that day. That's not saying you're getting sanctified again. That is saying, Lord, I need You today. It's the same as asking, Lord, give me grace for this day. But I do believe that the Holy Spirit is pleased when we seek after Him daily, Make it a part of your prayer. Oh, I believe that God wants the Holy Spirit operating and working in us day by day and teaching us these things and enlivening our faith in these things and giving us light and understanding how we will love and can love one another as Christ loved us. So as we learn to love Christ and we learn how Christ loved us and we learn more about the love of God, I believe that God will fill us more with love, that we be that example out there in the world. So I'm going to say this, that the love that we have and demonstrate as we learn about it, it makes a statement. It's making a statement. It is the divine love of God working in our hearts. It's not me. I can't. There might be some people that are just naturally sweet and easy to get along with and kind to others. There could be some people like that. But what we're speaking of today is a divine work, and it can only be attained through the divine Spirit. So I want to encourage us again. Let's seek after the Spirit of the Lord every morning for that day. The next day, seek for it again. God will be pleased to fill you with the Holy Spirit day by day. A scripture that sort of fits in right here is 1 John 3 and 14. We know we have passed from death unto life because. Now, how do you know you've passed from death unto life? If you didn't know the rest of this verse, what would you put in behind that because? Well, I know that I've passed from death unto life because I attend church every Sunday. I never miss. I know I've passed from death unto life because, and you'd have maybe several different things you could look to and say, I live a good life. We look back over there at the Pharisee, maybe it was, and the sinner that was beating on his chest and wouldn't so much as look up. And the other one, he was saying, oh, I fasted and I've given money and I've done this and I've done that. And he felt justified. But the one that went away justified was the one that accepted the love of God. Oh, it doesn't say it that way, but that's what it meant. So the ending of this verse, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Isn't that something? That can be your confidence when you love one another as Christ loved us, as God has loved us. And we're demonstrating the love of God, not only to our brethren, but to our families. Oh, it's so important. I cannot stress it enough that that's got to be the beginning point for you to love the brethren, for you to love anyone else. It's going to have to start in our homes. And we can have confidence. We have passed from death unto life. So in closing, I want to look at a little short portion of a verse, Galatians 5 and 6. And I want us to consider just this little phrase, faith worketh by love. Now we've already had faith and hope and love that's been compared. And we've already been instructed by the scriptures that love is the greatest And yet we come to this one and we find that in order for us to love, we have to have that ingredient of faith. Faith worketh by love. In order for my faith to work, I've got to have the love. Who do I have to have the love for? It goes back to the scripture of loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as I love myself. And I'm going to insert here again, loving my family above, before I love those out there, my neighbors. So you want your faith to be strong? Then you get love in your heart. Be filled with the love of God. It will inspire faith. And I will add this, it will inspire hope. I will be able to have a solid hope because I have a great love, a love for God and a love for others. So important. God counts it important. It has to be a priority of our life. Faith is important. Hope is important. Salvation is important. But I want to tell you, you got to have love over all of them. And I was thinking also in closing of a scripture that Jesus said, when I come again, will I find faith? We've all read that. We've talked about it. Maybe you've prayed about it. Maybe you've even said, oh, yes, he will find faith in me. And that's good. I hope he finds faith in each one of us. But I believe that we can change it and not do damage to the scripture at all. And that is, when he comes again, will he find love? We're living in a world that is not ruled by love, but by hatred and malice and violence and all of these things that make our world less desirable than ever before. What is Jesus coming for? He wants to find faith, yes. But I believe he is coming also, and he will say, will I find love? So that's our little thought, and I hope that you can maybe get something out of the scriptures this today that you can meditate on. Be challenged to love God more and to love your family more. And then you can love others in a greater way. And you can be that epistle that others may read and be pointed to the love of God. I desire your prayers. I find this very challenging. And in this place that God has me, and I have been, this is my going on my 13th week, and I want to tell you, I have thought much about loving God, and I have cried out to him, let me love you more and more. I desire the love of God to be in my heart, ruling my life, that I may be a demonstration to others, that they may understand or be pointed to the love of God. I desire your prayers.